the fifth case of the day, United States versus Joshua Liddell. Ms. Day, your day in court. As you probably have heard that so many times.
Once or twice through the years. Good morning, Your Honors.
Morning.
May it please the court.
I'm sorry.
That's perfectly all right. Well, we are back again on the Joshua Liddell case. And representing Mr. Liddell, I have brought two issues before the court today. The first issue revisits in some ways the issue that was previously here on the government's appeal. That particular, in that particular appeal, we were looking at case law dealing with the career offender statute, in particular the Hernandez and Garrett cases. And Your Honors found that under the law of those cases that Mr. Liddell was a career offender, remanded his case for resentencing, and we went back to the district court. Where at the time of sentencing, two things happened that have raised this appeal. First of all, is the district judge's concerns with the fact that by looking at Hernandez and Garrett, and basically, it's my understanding and the holding, the previous holding, that these cases, these counts in the particular case at issue were charged independently. There was no conspiracy charge, which would raise the question of whether they were related when you looked at the timing and dates of the original cases. What the judge, the district judge, looked at was the fact that under the guidelines, you have to go through a step-by-step process, beginning with the first chapter of the guidelines and working your way through, and that before you ever get to the career offender guidelines in Chapter 4, you have to get through the grouping guidelines in Chapter 3. And that in looking at those guidelines, Chapter 3 mandates the grouping of these counts. And in so doing, removes the case at question from the career offender calculation because it is definitely relevant conduct to the grouped counts. Then you move on to Chapter 4, which contains the prior criminal history and the career offender guidelines. And in that section, basically, you do not count for career offender purposes things that cannot be counted in criminal history. And under the grouping provisions, these cases, this case could not be counted in criminal history. So we revisit the issue again of whether or not Mr. Joshua Liddell is a career offender, and it is our position that he is not, given the factors and the following the step-by-step analysis.
Before we get into your argument, do you think that the recent Supreme Court decision in Kimbrough and then our Taylor decision will require this case to be remanded for resentencing?
I think that Kimbrough does raise an issue that should result in this being remanded in particular. And as I looked at that issue this morning, one of the things that I found troubling in looking at this particular case is that in the Kimbrough case, they were addressing the crack cocaine disparity and the fact that a judge is able to look at that disparity and give a sentence significantly below what's recommended by the guidelines. What I find, I guess in comparison here, is that we have the career offender guidelines, which the Sentencing Commission has said has the same problems. And in fact, at the time of the sentencing hearing in this case, if you review the sentencing transcript, I pointed to the Sentencing Commission's 15-year report in which they said that the manner in which this guideline was prepared is akin to how it was prepared for the crack cocaine guidelines. And then you carry that further and look at Kimbrough. And yes, I think that there's a huge problem here. I think when you move in and look at what the judge did on resentencing, that that makes it even clearer that this case should be remanded for resentencing.
And we don't have a situation yet, because everything is so new, where we've had this kind of interplay where the defendant was sentenced pursuant to the career offender guideline range.
That's correct. I have not seen another case dealing specifically with this issue post-Kimbrough. And, of course, as you're aware what happened, the case was remanded. The only difference upon remand is that the sentencing guideline range was recalculated, and as to count one, my client was determined to be a career offender. Where originally his guideline range had been 84 to 105 months, and on count one there was a mandatory minimum that kept him at 120 months, under the new calculations, as count one, his guideline range went up to 262 to 327 months incarceration, a sentencing range that the sentencing court was clearly uncomfortable with. But I think more telling is that when you compare the transcripts, if you look at the original sentencing transcript, the judge says, I've considered giving you a higher sentence, but I think 10 years is enough, and that I'm looking at your youth as a reason not to go higher. And throughout that sentencing hearing, the government had been arguing first for a guideline range of 262 to 327 months, and then, when the court found there was no career offender status, for an upward departure. So there was nothing new on the second sentencing, except this court had said, no, those calculations are wrong. So the calculations get revisited, they're higher, and suddenly all of the things that the judge considered initially are out the window. The fact that these were youthful indiscretions, the fact he considered his health, this is a gentleman who at 17 had been diagnosed with a brain tumor, the fact that he had no father figure in his life and had been, the only time he'd seen his father was through the glass, and he was repeating that, or even the fact that he had been sent for a medical evaluation and had had the opportunity to meet with people who were doing life in prison and the impact that that had had on him. All of those things were taken into account in the first sentencing. But when you look at the transcript, none of that mattered in the second sentencing. What mattered was tying the sentence to the sentencing guidelines. So instead of a 120-month sentence, which was a thoughtful, well-reasoned, and considered sentence in the original sentencing, what happened is that sentence is doubled. He goes from 10 years to 20 years because of a miscalculation in the guidelines. But the guidelines are only one factor to be considered here. So clearly the judge has looked at those guidelines and determined, I believe, that they were presumptively reasonable, which in light of Rita, Kimbrough, and Gall is completely inappropriate. The judge did not have the benefit of Kimbrough and Gall at the time that he entered his opinion. And so, yes, I agree. I think that those require that this case go back down for reconsideration. I see that I've in my rebuttal time. If you don't have any further questions, I will reserve my time.
Mr. Clark.
Thank you, Your Honor. I'm standing in for George Norwood, who is in trial this week. Essentially, the government's position, Your Honors, is that the career offender in Chapter 4 generally trumps the Chapter 3 grouping rules. And Your Honors did not directly address this in the first case, but you did talk about the fact, if I may quote, I think you said, in order to satisfy the third element of Section 4B1.1, defendant's earlier convictions cannot be related to the instant offense. And to determine if it is related, 4B1.1 directs us back to 1B1.3, where the commentary there gives us the example that you referenced in your first decision, that is, where there is an intervening conviction, the conduct is not related for purposes of the career offender guideline.
Before you get
yes,
to that, can you also address Kimbrough and Taylor and tell me what your view is and the interplay between that and the career offender guideline?
Yes, Your Honor.
Whether you think it needs to go back?
Your Honor, it could go back under the newer guidelines that are retroactive. I don't think there's any question that it could go back under that for some kind of reconsideration. I would point out to the court that in our district, regardless of the outcome of this appeal, in our district, the method of handling these matters is that a defendant whose sentence might be affected by the amended retroactive guidelines has the opportunity to move for a reduction. The I believe that in our district, the federal public defender has been appointed to handle any such cases. And it's almost an automatic process if he or she qualifies for the retroactive application. But nevertheless, I believe that that it could be remanded under a Palladino-type remand for correcting the sentence in light of those amended guidelines.
So do you think it should be? I mean, would it make any difference? I mean, this is the first time at least I've dealt with this particular kind of situation.
From a practical standpoint, I suppose it would be easier in terms of judicial economy, considering the fact that under such a motion, I don't believe that the defendant's presence is even necessary. That would be the more optimal route. But
why don't you just file a stipulation with
I don't think that there would be a problem. Are you suggesting that we do that for purposes of this case?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then go back to the district court on the Kimbrough matter.
We can certainly discuss that afterwards. I don't think that there would be a problem with that, Your Honor.
Well, if that happens, let us know before we engage in a lot of work on the case.
Okay. Otherwise, we're going to have you do additional briefing. You know,
wouldn't want to do that, Your Honor. And I'm sure you wouldn't want to read it either. So, the government really has no objection if you do want to remand. That would be entirely appropriate. At any rate, I believe that both the Ward case and the Mercier case, which were cited in our brief, discuss the fact that the Chapter 3 of the guidelines do not apply, the grouping rules do not apply when it comes to the career offender provisions in Chapter 4 generally. And at bottom, Your Honors, I believe that the reason that this is the case is because the career offender is a special class of offender. And in this case, we have a guy who got out of jail and who almost immediately went back to his ways of crime. And I think that that's what the career offender tries to punish is a guy who's actually been convicted and sentenced if he hasn't learned from that conviction and sentence that he shouldn't be engaging this behavior, then the guidelines treat him more harshly under the career offender provision. With respect to the reasonableness of the sentence, Your Honors, the judge in this case did go down, I believe it was 22 months in this case, from the career offender minimum, and he did take into account such factors as his youth and post-conviction rehabilitation. And let's face it, the judge had, it's the same judge who had sentenced the defendant originally. So certainly he had all of those factors that my opponent has mentioned in mind when he was resentencing the defendant on remand. Consequently, Your Honors, the government requests that the case be affirmed. Thank you.
Dave, anything more?
Your Honors, if I might just briefly, for clarification purposes, our office is appointed and does handle, and so far, with the exception of one case, by complete agreement with the U.S. Attorney's Office, all of the crack retroactivity cases. But I see the Kimbrough issue as a separate issue beyond simply crack retroactivity. That would only affect count 2 of the sentence in this case. I see the separate reason for remanding under Kimbrough being the argument that I mentioned previously, that the crack disparity issue mentioned in Kimbrough is founded in the same problems in the same area as the career offender guidelines are, in that they were not formulated in the same manner as other guidelines were. And Kimbrough made clear that for that reason, the court has a need and an ability to look at that disparity and sentence. And that wasn't done in this case, and it should have been. And that's what makes it unique and also different from Kimbrough, because it involves the career offender issue. And, yes, I believe on those grounds it should be remanded, and I'm not positive that was clear, that was the argument that I was making, that, yes, we will resolve that two-level issue with the crack cocaine disparity as to count 2, but there is a different issue under Kimbrough and a different reason why it should be remanded to the district court, and I ask this court to do that.
All right. If there's going to be a stipulation on either some part of this case, we'd like to receive that from you within several days.
Thank you so much.
Okay. We have one more case on the docket, but we're going to take a very short recess. There will be a change in panel for that case, so we'll be in recess for no more than 5 minutes.